Hi friends, welcome to the Mom Without Wife Life podcast. I'm your hostess Brittany, and each week we'll be Kevin, Reagan, and I'm talking about life. So grab yourself a drink, get yourself comfortable, and get ready to be inspired. Welcome back, everybody. I'm so sorry for the week delay for this podcast. If anyone follows me on social media or knows me in real life, you guys know that I have been in the middle of a complete and utter upside down turn of my life. I am in the middle of a move, so I will be releasing this, and next week and the following week will be our 2 weeks off, just so I can get my house back in order. So I just wanted to let everybody know. Also, this week's podcast touches on a very important topic with the Indigenous community that is going on right now all across Canada. But I wanted to give everyone a heads up as to what is to be expected. We also touch on a few other topics, but we are discussing some of the missing women that have been reported missing in the last year. So, as I said before, grab yourself a drink, get yourself comfortable, and get ready to be inspired.
So then
he has no idea.
Okay, so then why don't, if we're gonna talk about that, what about the Lost Boys of Pickering?
That unfortunately is something that is sad and is true.
Explain to me, what is this?
So 23 years ago, which it's a little bit longer now, I'd probably say it's closer to 25,
but the anniversary is
St. Patrick's Day 1995.
Yeah,
these four boys, was it four or five? So there was 17-year-old Jay, 18-year-old Chad, 17-year-old Robbie, and then 17-year-old Jamie, 17-year-old Michael, and 17-year-old Danny. They all just disappeared, and they have never found them.
Now, I just want to say that these were real people.
Real people.
Not that we haven't been talking about real people, but this was an absolutely terrible tragedy. Our hearts go out to the families, because I get it. I've got an 18-year-old child, and I know how terrified I am when he goes out to
do things.
So
what's the theory behind it? Like, what's the story?
There's the problem is they were breaking it down, and they were looking because they have video of three of the boys were at, where do boats go?
Marina.
The marina. Thank you.
Where is this? This is in
Pickering.
Which is just, which is now kind of part about Toronto, but it would have been above Toronto at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. So they...
More of a large town, small city at the time.
Yeah, so video surveillance caught three of them breaking into a marina on Frenchman's Bay, but there's been no sign of the teenager since. And there's been a lot of things going on with it, because at the same time there was like a big water bike. That's like the big one with like the big...
Yeah, water tricycle or whatever they call them.
Went missing, and there was a boat that went missing. The boat that went missing is like one of these boats that is like, if it gets cut in half, it still floats. Like, it's like one of these can't sink boats. And it was
like
really
the Titanic?
Cold.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Had to throw that in there.
I was waiting for you, I'm not going to lie. I was like, and here she comes.
Here we go.
Riding in like Zorro. Just like the Titanic.
You kill everything, Tanya. Yeah.
Yep. I am here to destroy all of the fun.
Right? So there's been a few times where there's been public inquiry. People that are wanting to investigate or want information. In the it's not as easy in Canada to get police records as it is in the States. It's very hard. A lot of them, they don't really cooperate as easy as you would think. And it took a really long time because they ended up having remains found in Niagara Falls.
Yes.
And the one boy that went missing had red Levi's on.
Yeah, which were like a limited edition.
Yeah. And so they ended up finding these like two remains in Niagara Falls. And it was like
that included the red Levi's.
Yeah. The Niagara police didn't want to, they weren't cooperating with the Pickering. Like, they weren't really cooperating. And when...
It was also like 3 years later, I think, too, wasn't it?
So
it was definitely considerably later because the remains were not identifiable.
Yes.
So I mean, like,
but there is DNA.
What do you mean the remains were not identified? Like they were.
It was
buried. They had drowned. Like, what's this? I don't understand where it's going.
And so, well, that's what they're saying is like there. I'm assuming that they died by drowning or whatever. But they're saying that like for them to get from Pickering to Niagara Falls was like that they're not next door to each other. They're not like close.
No, but they all have
water theory.
And then they ended up getting the pants, and the pants are like more of an orangey color, but the pants were missing for a really long time. And so that's like this weird conspiracy. It's like almost like when you watch, there's a little blip, or not blip, it's like a 48-minute thing on YouTube, and it's when you hear it all out, there's a lot of things that if you have the conspiracy mind that you're like, it sounds like a cover up. Like, because it's just how you would get information and the cops would have things redacted out. Like you would get.
Right. Okay.
And then I guess one of the boys had a necklace. And before he went out to go to the St. Patty's Day, he took the necklace off and gave it to his mom.
Yeah, there was something like that.
And so a lot of people... also have some thoughts about the guidance counselor, because I guess the guidance counselor that had that would have had actual contact with two or three of the boys was involved in like organized crime.
Okay.
And two or three of the boys were not in school. They didn't want to be in school, so they dropped out or whatever.
Yeah, one of them I think had a newborn.
Yes. And so what they're saying is that like, another theory is like, what if this guy who's a guidance counselor who would counsel these kids and who got arrested and charged for crimes, what if he got them involved in it? Like, there's all these different things. But again, like, these boys just disappeared. And I can't imagine so the one guy's daughter would be like in her 20s now. She's like 22.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, and they just disappeared and there's been no trace of them. And so I can't even begin to try and figure it out, because the water's too cold for them to go swimming. It was like March 15th.
Oh boy, that's
17th.
That's polar bear dip type.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day is always on the 17th.
So it was just, I don't know what happened, because they never found the boat that went
missing.
That's
the interesting part.
Right? And so...
But they did find a gas can.
Yes, but who's to say that that's where the gas came?
It was only the people at the marina that said that the gas can was actually on that boat. Now, I will jump in here, because they didn't just disappear.
Wait a minute, hold on. Dun, 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 dun,
thank you.
Sorry, you wanted the music, you said.
Yes,
so.
I do. I think I prefer something more with like dramatic violin, but that's okay.
Hang on a minute. Wait a minute, hold on. Just hold on, everybody, wait up. We're getting the intro music.
Intro music.
When my studio is back in roll, we can drop all these things in.
It'll be much easier than...
I can put in sound effects and all sorts of stuff.
You get me my own sound effects? That would be amazing. Absolutely. I would like that.
I'm trying to figure out what a good sound effects would be.
So here's some. Did you want violin? Is that what you want?
You know, dramatic violin.
Dramatic violin.
This is Guelph. We must be able to just find a violinist somewhere. I mean, just go to the front of the house and it's like, anybody playing their violin right now? Well, oh, you. Come here for a second.
Now, this might not be what you want it to be, but this is what you're getting. So this is the best that I can do for you. This is the most dramatic
entrance.
It's a little celestial. I like it.
Tanya from the hidden realms of Debunker Myth comes forward and presents her information.
Let's ta-da! See, or else there's this one.
That's kind of like
only if I was riding up on a pony.
That's like, dude, man, that's like only your opinion, man.
By the way, I want a pony.
I want a pony. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, no, we have to remember that they didn't just disappear, and there was a trace found of them. They were at a party. Now, I sort of researched it a little bit, so obviously I wasn't there, so add all the appropriate disclaimers. They were at a party. They left the party drunk, telling their girlfriends that they'd be back, but they were going to go and mess around with some boats. They're caught on video at least three of them are caught on video at one of the marinas taking one of the boats. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. Right? Teenagers doing stupid teenage things, drunk at a St. Patrick's Day party. Mm-hmm. Girlfriends wait, and they never really come back. Nobody's super surprised because they're partying teenagers. They had partied before. You know what I mean? So they were already, they told someone where they were going. They then arrived at the place they said that they were going to, which was within walking distance of the party, mm-hmm. Which is probably what encouraged the behavior. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's like, oh, there's a marina. We're gonna get drunk and high and go and mess around with boats. I had a cousin that like stole a shopping cart and drove around in a parking lot with his friends in a shopping cart. And the police are like, you got to go home. And he's like, yeah, okay. And they put the shopping cart back. You know, they mm-hmm. do stupid things. At any rate, so we already know that they were there. We know they got into the boat.
Well, but so here's the thing, though, is that the security camera only caught three of them.
Yes, but the security camera couldn't see the other three with the water trike, is the assumption.
Okay.
It is likely, given that all of them disappeared, that they were all together. So I will take that hypothesis, and I will consider it to be factual enough to state and go forward with. Mm-hmm. That there were no other footprints found, there were no other bodies found, there was nothing else like that. Because, I mean, there was still some snow, there was, you know, it was wet. Mm-hmm. Something must have happened. Now, a water tricycle is probably a poor choice of watercraft in the winter.
But they never found that either.
They never found that. There are boats that go all the way across Lake Ontario. They say it's not uncommon for them to end up in the USA. But what happens to those, that watercraft, because they have Canadian markings on them. I don't know if a water trike actually even has to be considered a watercraft. I'd have to look that up. Mm-hmm. But the boat itself had a serial number. But the serial number is invalid in the States. So what they say happens is watercraft and things get over to the other side. Somebody's like, look, a free boat. They paint it over and it's never seen again. These are not uncommon boats. Mm-hmm. They're, I know there is a theory that one of them made it to the other side.
Yes.
Because apparently one of them has been sighted.
Yes.
Or there's allegedly has been sighted a couple of times.
That was the one and that they had wonder, the baby.
Yeah, they wonder if something terrible happened to his friends, because terrible accidents do sometimes happen. Mm-hmm. We don't like to think about it. It'd be nice to think that aliens came down and took them and they're living happily somewhere else in another dimension. But the reality is horrible things do happen sometimes. And I don't like to think about it either.
Yeah.
Only one of them made it across.
Yeah.
No oars. He ends up on the other side in the States at some random dock, marina, beach, who mm-hmm. knows what. And now is like, how do I can't ever go back. I can't ever go back and tell them what happened because I just watched my friends drown.
Yeah.
That time of year, making some assumptions about the temperature of the water that are pretty easy to find accurate.
Yeah.
They got less than a minute in that water before they're not getting out.
Yeah.
So the fact that the boat is unlikely to sink doesn't mean that that boat is unlikely to tip. Mm-hmm. Same with the water tricycle. You may not be able to sink it, but a current take it across. Someone goes, look, a free water trike.
Yeah.
You never see it again.
And I think this
one kid survived.
There's allegedly possibly some sightings of it's one just, of them, but there was more than one sighting that could have been the one, the same person.
The theory that they were talking, because that's the theory that most people are drawn to, is like they probably drowned.
Yeah. Okay, and then
so
they
how
found
come the body didn't. Why didn't we have any bodies, shoes, clothes, hats, nothing?
Because
found?
If you take a look at the possibility of or what happens if somebody does drown in our lake systems
and they get very far down, it's very cold.
It's very
and
cold.
Your body doesn't. It doesn't what it usually does when it's in warmer water.
Exactly. So you're not finding things. We don't have tides. We don't have a lot of things that have those things happen. That's why it was such a long period of time until they found the red Levi's. I mean, I haven't cross-referenced red Levi's with all the other disappearances on the lake. However, I suspect that something like a limited edition pair of red Levi's.
Yeah. So years after the disappearance, pants closely resembling the pair Jay was wearing the night he disappeared were found in the Niagara River. They contained remains, but DNA has not been extracted. And so
I thought they had extracted the DNA.
This was in 2018. And so I think the show that I watched was in 2019 or 2020.
And they found the genes sometime
they ended up
before
doing
that.
The DNA. And so I guess they told them that the DNA couldn't be used or whatever. And then they ended up telling the mom that then the DNA didn't match. And she's like, so what was it? Does the DNA not match, or did you not have enough DNA to run it? Because they told her and her husband, because they said, we'll pay to do it. Like,
yeah.
Right. And they were just giving them this like runaround of stuff. And that's where it gets kind of weird. Like, why is it such like a, you're really probing them to do what they're supposed to do. That's your job. You're the police. You should be involved. This is what the parents are thinking. And that's why they're like,
because it's a really old case, because there's no, with those sort of things, they're not, sometimes it's literally just, there is nobody to tell somebody to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, there's a certain number of people that are assigned to take care of some types of cold cases, mm-hmm. or whatever they call them. I'm not even 100% sure their procedures.
And they have to
do them. Oh, totally.
Just to do a DNA test, because they do DNA tests all the time.
They do. And so now they're trying to run a DNA test on something that is someone who's been missing for 23 years, but nothing is pointed to the fact it's a murder. So it gets dropped lower. So let's say there's 100 cold cases, mm-hmm. and they've got to prioritize where they put their energy, mm-hmm. in that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we imagine rows and rows of desks of, you know, eager detectives who are just going to jump on everything. And they probably don't actually even have the resources to do it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things literally just sit because there isn't anybody to do it at that point. Nobody's taking care of that particular case. Maybe it's been unassigned for a while, so now somebody has to sign off on it, and it comes down to bureaucratic paperwork.
It's not even that. It's just like, that's all the stuff that they can gather. Like, they can't get any more evidence, and it doesn't lead to anything.
Yeah. Or so, they look at it and they go, maybe we don't have enough DNA from this. We're not sure what we're actually looking at here. So do, mm-hmm. we spend the money on it, or do they prioritize something else that where they might actually be able to find somebody alive? Like, there's so many, mm-hmm. factors in that. And I get that it's probably super frustrating. It is frustrating. We've all dealt with bureaucracy, but that doesn't make it mysterious. You know what I mean?
Like, I wonder how long after.
I mean, I would want to know. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. And I think all the families but one have all moved away from the area because they're tired of it. They're tired of of not knowing. They're tired of the publicity. They're tired. I was hesitant to talk about this at all, especially at the time when it was the anniversary of it, because it's at the point now where the families like slam doors in people's faces and hang up, sure. and change phone numbers and stuff like that.
Well, and I don't want, like, I think that we're not.
I think we're far enough away from it, and we're not tagging people. We're not doing any of that stuff. We want.
I'm more interested in, I just wish that there was a way that we could bring the conversation up in regards to all cases that are like this.
Yeah.
Because people forget about them, and it's painful for the family. But, you know, there could be somebody that's saw something or knows something, and they just.
They
kind of haven't really thought about it. And then when you bring it up, they're like, oh, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Well, it's a hard thing because, like, on Twitter, I follow the FBI. Mm-hmm. And they've been putting up this thing about the guy that laid down pipe bombs in Washington during the January 6th insurrection thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so they're looking for this person, and they've got video of this guy walking around, or girl, we don't really know, because this person has a particular gait.
Interesting.
That could either be male or female. A lot of people are saying it's female, but you know. This person walked past several people, you know, that were out walking their dogs. And it's like, you know, of course the FBI have probably tried to contact them. But how do you remember something that's just on such a casual basis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You might not even know you passed
anyone.
Most
people aren't aware to things like that because they carry on with their lives and everything's A-okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't know if anybody's doing anything nasty.
I couldn't tell you. If I go for a walk in my neighborhood, I might remember somebody that I talked to that had like a cute dog or something. But I could pass 50 people and probably not tell you who they are or what they're doing unless they are looking suspicious.
For sure. Yeah. Now, and that's, I also watched the documentary on Madeline McCann.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Portugal, parents had a bunch of people there with
them. I read about that.
That's right.
And they thought the parents had been part of it at one stage. See, but then the parents were starting to put out their own investigators and things like that.
Yeah, the parents were clear.
I don't think the parents were involved. Even when I started to watch it, before they got to the point where they were like, oh, they aren't. I'm like, I don't think that, I think that they could have done some things. Like, they were in a resort that offered child care in your room, and the parents turned it down.
But they were really close by.
Not really. Not like close enough that.
Was it like 300 feet or something like that?
Around a hedge and a wall and a building, and they're eating food way over there, and they have their 3-year-old and their twins sleeping, and they would only go check on them every 30 minutes, and they're in Portugal.
That, I mean, for me, that would be weird. I haven't researched this at all. So.
Somebody fell asleep, the parents fell asleep.
Nope.
Wasn't that it?
No, nope. They were out for supper, and there was like a group of them. There was like a group of like 6 parents, and
the kids were asleep in the bedroom.
They all left their kids to sleep in their rooms, and the parents would get up and go and look, and when the mom came to go look, she looked and the door was a bit open, and so she went to go close it, and a gust of wind came and slammed it shut. And so my theory is, I think that the little girl woke up and walked out because she's Bronson's age.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? She's young, right? And I'm thinking, you know, when Bronson can't find me when he wakes up, he gets up and looks for me.
Right.
And there was other cases of people that had children disappear in Portugal, and they didn't really talk about it much, and that caused a whole other issue because the locals started getting upset that this family was getting so much attention, and the locals that had children that would disappear or whatever didn't get that type of publicity.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
When they were starting to say things like it was a local that did it,
well,
and that sort of thing.
I think that my gut says is I think that she woke up. I think she walked out. I think she went out into the road, and I think somebody saw her, grabbed her, snatched her, and she's gone. Right? Like somebody out there walking.
They did say they saw somebody carrying a child of that age. It's really hard for me to talk about this because I have a little girl. So it's absolutely, I'm going to get nightmares from this tonight. Yeah, for sure.
So it's something that I watched it and it just made my heart just like drop to my stomach, because I'm like, you know, all this stuff happens and then it's really big for like 2 weeks and then you don't hear about it anymore
because there's like
I don't know what it is with people these days. Like we there's some, I think part of it is that there's so much information of so much bullshit constantly all the time that we're not able to process it.
Well,
there's a whole bunch of native women that are missing.
Yes, that's right.
They're still going missing.
Well, let's
and they don't even get 2 minutes.
Let's talk about that, because there's a girl that I follow on TikTok.
Yes, that's right.
And she's been sounding the alarm on all these missing women out west in BC.
Yes. Yep.
And it's just like,
in lots of different places, and it's disproportionate, and it's really not okay.
And I'm like, this is it. When I first saw it, I'm like, you know, my thinking in my head goes, you know, if I was a serial killer, or if I like had those types of tendencies, and like usually I would do my hits at like bars or whatever, and that's all closed, you start to get a little bit antsy, I think. And if you have the urges, you start, and it, because it looks like a serial situation when you look at it, where it's all within like a general space. And then there's this guy, he's followed 2 women. They've caught him on camera.
Whoa.
And so it's like, someone's following me, I find you 2 strangers, and I come and I stand here and I'm like, hey, Arthur, like pretending he's my husband.
Yeah.
And this guy is standing there with his mask on, watching.
Creepy.
And that's a whole other reason with my, like, I'm not an anti-masker, but the masks scare me.
Oh, but there's so many things that can change the way you look.
No,
I can put on a baseball cap and do my makeup differently. I look like a guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'll tell you off air, because I don't want to give anybody any ideas, but I'll tell you, because it's just like it scares the bejesus, right?
I think what the biggest problem is that somebody feels like they can follow somebody mm-hmm. wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. I think that it lends an air of creepy if someone is following you. But the reality is,
I'll try and find
we should always be aware of those sort of things, because you know who gets followed all the time? Lots of women. Mm. And this happened before the pandemic, and we don't need a bunch of psycho anti-maskers using that as an excuse.
Yeah.
When the reality is, I grew up in Mississauga during the time of the Scarborough rapist, and it changes the way I walk outside now at 50.
Yep.
And there were no effing masks. No. That was flat out, we didn't go anywhere alone. I still go nowhere alone at night.
Yes, girls should just absolutely stay in a group and
I just don't.
And watch out for themselves.
Yep. Yeah. And because the reality was they were picking us off in Mississauga. That's what it was. And you know what? The general idea was just like, just be more careful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not that they weren't looking for this guy.
So I'm going to try and find, because she has a missing update. So this is on the 24th of all the people that. So.
Okay.
Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Here's your missing update for March 24th. A Gen Z has been charged with first-degree murder of the woman whose body was found on fire in a Burnaby park. She has yet to be publicly identified. The following women have gone missing from British Columbia, Canada in 2020 and 2021. This is not by any means all women that have gone missing. These are only the women whose families have successfully had missing person reports filed for them. April Parisian. Lally Honeywell. Sarah Ford. Jessica Crocker, Kendra Bradshaw, Fatime Abdullali, Shailene Keeler Bell, Trina Hunt, Sylvia May Jack, Zoe Chow, Brandy Sheen, Ashley Virtue, Shailana Lewis, Kaylee Eden Fiddler, Nirla Sharma, Lauren Bennett, Jeannie McBride, Mackenzie Russ Morrison. A minimum of 18 missing women in less than 16 months. And that's not even all the women.
Yeah, that's far too much.
What can you even say about something like that?
Right?
I can say this. Whatever it is, if I don't know. Maybe it's just me not understanding why. But there's only one person that can stop it. And that's the people that get these things into their heads that they have to do whatever it is they have to do. Mm-hmm. Because it's a mixture of, you know, obviously a psychosis of some kind of, you know, mental unhealth deranged thing that drives the desire to do this. And then there's the underground element, which is all the trafficking and all this sort of stuff. Like
objectification of women.
A lot of these women are, you know, taken and kidnapped for sex work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which is all gang, mafia, bikey shit. Do you know what I mean? And they have to stop it.
Yeah.
You know, it's pathetic. It's a disgrace to the human race to be acting like this, especially in 2020.
There's a warning right now for people in BC. I'm going to play it.
Okay, nobody freak out, but I have to give British Columbia a warning. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do right after the warning. So do not scroll. Listen the whole way, please. Citizens in British Columbia being pulled over by RCMP impersonators is on the rise right now. Every situation has been a ghost car, you know, an unmarked cop car where suddenly lights appear from the grill type of thing. And it's all been in areas with really spotty cell service. So this is what you're going to do if you think somebody that is not a police officer is pulling you over. You're going to pull over to the side of the road, lock your doors, roll your window down about this much, and immediately call 911 dispatch. When the cop pulls up to the window, let him know that you've heard about police impersonations and you're just verifying the officer's identity through dispatch, and show him you are on the phone with 911 verifying that. Once you have verified the police officer is actually a police officer, you do you. Roll the window down, get out of the car, do whatever the fuck you want. If you're on the highway, ask the officer to follow you off the highway to a safe, populated location.
So
yeah, see, when we were in the States, we were driving around, and when I talked to, you know, like I was working at a hostel and I talked to other foreigners and Americans about this, and said, nobody pulls over for a cop on a freeway. You drive to like your next gas station. You don't get out of the car. There's just too many freaks doing strange shit.
It is. It's true.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, you have to protect yourself. It doesn't matter what the cop is doing. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to speed. Like, they just, if they're a cop, they will follow you. Mm-hmm. They'll put their lights on. And if they're a real cop and you haven't stopped, they'll call other coppers in. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And they'll be like, oh, I've got somebody. And, you know, a bunch of them will show up and they don't know who you are. And they don't know if you've got guns or if you're a thing. And that's if you, if they're cops. If that's not a cop, it's going to be the one car. They're not going to call anybody in. They're going to follow you, just a single car, all the way until they tire out, until you get close to a population they can see. Oh, you're getting in towards people. They don't want to be seen.
No.
Mm-hmm. So you stay in your car. You don't listen to anything until you've confirmed it. I absolutely 100% agree with what that lady was saying.
When I got my driver's license, you know how everybody gives you advice when you're a new driver and, you know, all this stuff. My uncle, who has given me so much good advice over my life, he really, really has, pulls me aside and he goes, don't ever, like, cops are not the enemy, he goes, but if a cop car tries to pull you over and you're not doing anything wrong, he says, you're not speeding, you're not, you know, he says, drive to the donut shop, drive to a gas station, he says, and then, you know, he says, just maintain your speed. Drive to a safe place, because I believe at the time there was something that was going on and he didn't want to scare me by saying where there's this guy impersonating police officers. But he was like so serious about it and he's like, yeah, you know, you have to do this. And I remember saying something to my mom about it. It's like, oh my God, my uncle said this to me. And she's like, yeah, that's really good advice. You should pay attention to that. She goes, this is you shouldn't be driving alone, but if you're driving alone, this is what you should be doing.
There's other little
things. I've never had that happen. I've had police always be fine with me. That's not a problem. I didn't run into a fake police officer. I was lucky, but it really stuck with me how serious the situation was, especially as I've gotten older.
And especially for women.
Yeah, especially for women.
There are car central locking systems that allow you to open just the driver's side door.
Yes. I still get into a car and I do not, it doesn't matter if it's daylight or not, just out of habit, I lock the doors. And I did it, and that's the same thing, family advice. You're driving in your car, first thing you do is make sure all your doors are locked. And I remember my first car only had two doors.
I do the exact same thing.
And you, yeah. And it's such good advice. I mean, technically it's good advice for any gender.
Can you hear me?
But it was said to me specifically as a young female at the time to shut the door, and I still do it. Come out of work, get into my car, lock the door before I plug in my phone. Before I put on my seatbelt, door locked, because, you know, I used to work in malls back when I was younger and I was cute and pretty and whatever. And they'd have security updates where they'd say, make sure that you get security to walk you to the car at night. Holding your keys, ways to hold your keys so that you sound like a security guard.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. How Bertie can tell we're all like agitated. But he has his opinions too. But it's really, really interesting because that's just it. They wait for people to get into their car and then they carjack you. You know what I mean? It doesn't even have to be that you then become a missing person. They just now hand me your purse.
When I go to do groceries and whatnot, if there's a vehicle that's like a truck or van and it's parked on my driver's side, I unlock my car and I drive and I climb in from my passenger side to get in because I won't.
That's an interesting one. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, no, nope.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point.
I'm like, I don't trust
pretty much every big store for sure. You can always ask security to take you out. Pretty much any small store too. Like, I know that if I ask some of my local retailers, like, hey, there's this like weird truck parked next to my car. Do you mind walking me to my car?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'd be fine. But definitely, all your big grocery stores, that sort of thing. They'll totally have somebody walk you out, even if it's just like, you know, another employee or another couple of employees. They totally, totally will.
I'm trying to find this video for you guys. When you're out walking, Arthur, do you ever feel like...
My situation's very different. Out here in... I actually observe things from... in this neighborhood where I live. I know I'm safe because I watch women walking and jogging around this area on their own. So if
I not in a creepy way, he just notices. No, he's watching them.
No,
yeah,
Tanya.
Sorry.
No, but that's my gauge. If a woman can walk around feeling safe, then that's okay. Because I've lived in neighborhoods where, you know, I've had to walk down the street with my head tucked down, not looking up because any eye contact. Is a start. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I'm, as far as in a bloke's world is concerned, I'm on my own. I don't have a crew. I don't have a backup.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And yeah. I am a victim to more than at least, well, no, now my age, I'm probably a victim to anybody. But it's like, you know, there was a period in time where I would have been able to handle two.
Yeah.
Not successfully, I would have been able to get away or deal with two. Do you know what I mean? More than that, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So, you know, living in New York, living in LA, living in Melbourne wasn't so bad, but things are different there. So we had people with cars being smart asses. When we were skateboarding, we had guys that tried to run us down.
We used to have that on the motorcycle. Do you know what I mean? Here,
like,
too.
Yeah. And they, like, it was so bad that, you know, I was able to get off and I tried to piff a skateboard at them. Do you know what I mean? But the dangers are different. Do you know what I mean? It's not why a person goes after a guy is not the same reason as they go after a girl, but the end result is still the same. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I can, I.
As in, you would disappear forever and be found on fire in a park?
No, no, no. I'll be killed then and there. Fair. You'll be disappeared.
Good.
Do you know what I mean? All and right. Taken advantage of, etc. Because when I was in Arizona, I we were working at this hostel, and there was a girl there who was very much in love with this English bloke, and everything was fine. It was all cool. He was great. There was not a problem with him. And I went over to live across the country, and then I came back to Arizona. And in that time that I had been gone, she had gone out with somebody to some isolated place, and he had kept her.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
my God.
Yeah, kept her.
The same guy.
No, not the English guy. Another bloke altogether.
Okay.
Kept her, had raped her, and you know, she thought that he was going to kill her. You know,
mm-hmm.
And she unloaded it, and well, I was watching her, and it was like, you know, she said, "Oh, I felt sorry for him." Now, yeah. Like they had caught him and all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, oh, this woman hasn't processed her attack.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
She like, felt yeah. sorry for him. Why?
It was a phase. It's part of what she was as a victim, was that she probably
wasn't
capable of holding the anger at that point in time. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was still shock. You have to, with traumatic events, you have to process what's happened to you. It may take years.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah,
so this was like immediately. By degrees, it was immediately after it happened for her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It was within the month or two or even within a year's time. Do you know what I mean? That this had happened to her. So, you know, I mean, she, you know, that's what happens with girls. They take you away. In the street, they see you, the guys that are attacking another guy will kill you then and there because it's a male dominance thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Okay. They will, don't talk back to me type of thing. Don't get smart with me. It's not even that. What are you doing here? Who are you?
All that sort of stuff.
Like, you don't belong here now, and we're going to take care of you here now. Except in Los Angeles, where they do things a little bit differently, where I suppose it's a gang thing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an incredible fight on Venice Beach between two crews. I wasn't sure who they were because Australian, I wasn't exactly clued in.
Mm-hmm.
And years later I found out from another lady who was actually really was from LA, said, oh, that was an invitation to a gunfight. So that was the beat up, and later on that night,
mm-hmm.
they're going to shoot at each other.
That's
the difference. But their situation, how they deal with things, they don't deal with things. They're very, very smile now, deal with you later type of thing.
Yeah.
But most places are kind of like, what are you looking at? Fuck you right now. Deal with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have had those sorts of things happen, but it's not, it's just, it's different. You guys are, I think shit probably jumps out of you out of nowhere a little bit more so. Like if I think about it, a man that's trying to attack a woman has probably planned it out. Or at some point there's a plan, there's a pre-existing thought.
Whereas
this has been maybe a little bit more immediate.
It's just kind of like, oh, this motherfucker.
Who are you? Who the fuck
are
you? Exactly. Yeah, yeah, all that.
Yeah.
Totally. So it's just a different style, but the end result is the same.
It's still violence against another human.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So this is on Global News. This is the video. Vancouver woman shoots video of man following her through downtown streets. This man that's on the video has been recorded once before.
Okay.
Following a woman through the streets to the point where she was like scared and he wouldn't leave her alone. And she was like, stop, like physically like, stop, leave me alone. And recorded it because she was like, this guy's going to kill me and all they're going to find is my phone.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what, yeah. So I'm just going to turn this up again so I'm more prepared this time.
What was supposed to have been a quick trip to the store turned into the nightmare Jamie Coots could not break free from.
So I was walking and I could feel about 2 feet behind me that someone was there. And so I actually just stepped off the path to let them pass, but they didn't.
That's when Coots pulled out her cell phone and began recording the man seen here in this video walking only a few feet behind her. All of this happening early Wednesday evening at around 5:30 in downtown Vancouver in the areas of Chinatown and Tinseltown.
No, he looked right in the camera multiple times. He didn't care at all.
Coots says she was followed for several blocks around and around the neighborhood.
Hey, do you mind if I sit with you guys? This guy's literally been following me in circles.
Yeah, that's cool.
For like 40 minutes and I've been recording it.
Eventually, she made her way to the skate park near Union Street, where there was safety in numbers.
Smart
woman. Her apparent stalker backing off once questioned by someone else at the park. The incident has Coots on edge.
I live in a small neighborhood where I run all my errands. I spend a lot of time at home because of COVID. And so when I get to outside to breathe fresh air and go for a walk, I really enjoy that time. I've heard from people that he's been seen in this area quite a bit. So I'm positive I will run into him again.
Vancouver police are now investigating.
We will look for other incidents that may have been reported to either the Vancouver Police Department or other police agencies to determine whether or not there are links.
As there are concerns, this could happen again.
It's pretty sad because this happens to a lot of women.
It's why Coots decided not to remain silent.
We're told to go out and carry things to protect ourselves and not wear headphones when we're walking and not walk alone and all these things. And now this has happened during the day.
Broad daylight.
So that's
the fact he didn't care makes me wonder if there's some mental health issues there too.
But that's what I'm
not that that's okay. No. I'm just like that's no, another
but that's the situation.
Fact. But that's
yeah.
what
yeah.
I think I'm wondering with COVID that a lot of these people aren't able to get help that they might need to go see people or be medicated or do whatever. And I think that's why we're seeing a jump in
this stuff. A thin veil. Yeah. Society is a thin veil. It always has been. Like, this is going to sound really draconian or whatever it is. I mean, but they really need to put cops on the streets again because people, it's not that far. Some people are that far from just doing the dumbest thing.
We've got crazy drivers
because of COVID.
Do we need better community?
I don't think the cops
so that
do
we
anything.
Can take care of each other. Because you know what that woman did? She went to a skate park.
Yeah,
so
she went
smart,
to a community.
Went to a community where the you could hear the guy, of course you can sit with me. Like, yes, come and sit
then,
with us,
and then,
we're going to help take care of this.
And then a kid who's, like, Toby's age went over with his skateboard in hand. And he's like, hey, buddy, what's up? And just started, like, towing him, like, hey. And the guy did not like that. And it's like as soon as the guy gets in his face, he's like, no. And it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, which tells you he was targeting her. Like, he was targeting her as a female. Now, whether he was targeting her because he's been following her or not. But we know that we find things in neighborhoods because we all have had, you know, whatever, robbery rings. And then eventually they find the van and everyone's like, I remember seeing that van.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. We have to be more vigilant as community. We have to take better care of each other. And we have to be more resilient as communities to help prevent this sort of thing.
Cops on the beat.
No, but
nothing happens.
But see, you know what else would be interesting?
I think that's the
problem.
Let
the community deal with some of the people that have done some of these things. And you might see
you know what that is? Are you ready?
Sensible.
You ready? No, that's gang.
Yeah.
Why do you think there are gangs? That's the exact attitude.
So you were telling me about, and I can't remember what the tribe was. But you were telling me about a tribe that when somebody does something.
Oh, in Australia, I don't know which particular tribe it is, but it's one of the local Australian indigenous groups that if a bloke rapes a female, for example, they don't kill him. What they actually do, but you have to remember what the society is. Mm-hmm. What they actually do is they spear him in the leg so that he becomes dependent on the people.
And
that
community?
On the community. That he cannot, because then he can't hunt. Yep. He can't take care of himself. He can't mm-hmm. take care of his family, all this sort of stuff. But you have to remember that those, that situation that Indigenous people live with is yeah. immediately tied to the wildness of the earth,
yeah,
the yes. untamedness part of that.
I think it's wonderful. And I think yes, it's a great.
But
idea.
we don't have that. That's not the way things operate. I don't think because community is already taken up with. Community is already taken up with going to work and taking care of its
that's
family.
Not community.
Okay, so I have.
Do you know what I mean? That's the problem.
I'm gonna. I don't have that much faith in our community.
Yeah.
And why I say that is because on Friday, I was out and I was sitting in at a stoplight waiting, and I was like four rows back. So there's cars in front of me. I watched a car crash. I watched this man go through a red light, smash into a car, and go up onto the side. And I sat there and I'm like, oh, wow. And I'm like, you know, I should stop. And we're like, no, it's fine. It's fine. There's other people there, which is called the bystander effect, right? Yep. Where it's like, oh, somebody else is dealing with it.
Yeah.
Nobody stopped except me. Every single person, the people that were sitting there that were at the line, right? Waiting to go first to drive through, right? Nobody stopped except me. How is it that I'm four rows back? And I'm like, so no one's stopping. And we're like, no way. I was like, yeah, no. So I stop the car, put on my four ways or my, you know, and I grab my mask, grab my phone. I dial 911 and I run across the street because this one car is smoking and the person hasn't gotten out yet. And I'm like, I might have to pull somebody out of a car. Might have
That's
to.
That's right.
Right? Like the first thing is like, is everybody okay, and is there anybody else in the car? First things.
Mm.
Yes. Like, and then they said, yes, we're fine. No, it was one person in each car. And at that point, I was on the phone with the dispatcher telling them where everything was. And it's just like, I'm like, nobody stopped.
Yeah.
This is like nobody. And it's like, and that's how things are all the time. That's why that's why they tell us women that if you're being raped, call, scream fire, because people will come
for fire, but they won't come for help. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there is massive argument for the police being on the beat again in society. This is not a Canadian thing. This is like an everywhere thing because they have put cops into cars.
No.
And if you have cops on the beat, then you've got.
No, because people don't respect the cops because the cops right now, that's the biggest thing.
Right now it's particular.
And all things being good, let's just assume for now, it's probably better to say that the cops should have been on the beat a long time ago, way back when cops didn't have this, because back in the 80s, the cops didn't have this kind of thing going on.
Yes, they did.
Talk to an ex-cop.
I think
they totally didn't do what they're doing right now. They are paramilitary. There's a paramilitary thing. Back then, they were just police officers.
Maybe
I don't know if anybody remembers that.
Maybe not.
I lived in New York City. I know what I'm talking about.
No, I know, but
no, but I'm saying here, the cops.
80s was huge.
Was not.
For,
yeah,
like,
it was
the
huge.
Gay community and everything. And big time bad.
I'm not saying there weren't things that were imperfect, but the police department weren't what they are today.
There were two
which
police
is highly,
in a car.
No, you have to have a cop on the street because they have to be walking the area. The thing is if you have a cop on the street that's always patrolling the area, they're on foot. Like in the neighborhoods that I've lived in, the police department, you would see a cop drive by the block every 5 minutes. No joke.
Holy cow.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, and it would have been two cops in the car. And they would have been driving by. There was no cop on the street. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't anybody. Now, if those neighborhoods, because, I mean, obviously things get bigger as things go on. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, drug dealers used to be far and few between. Like, and now, once the crack epidemic hit, everything changed after crack when it came to drug dealing, because a whole bunch of different people got their hands on, because of how much money was made. So it overwhelmed the police department. They don't know how to deal with it. But if they were on the street, they would have been able to handle and be, because when they were on the street, they're talking to neighbors, they're talking to shop openers, they're talking to the kids on the street, they're playing basketball, they're doing all the stuff that they need to be doing. And they stopped that approach to the society a long time ago, and you'd have a far lot less crime if the police were up there.
I don't think so, because I think that everybody, and I think
if you were walking down the street in the middle of the day and you had some bloke following you and you knew in your neighborhood exactly where the cops walked past, you'd be able to go up to them immediately and they'd do something about it.
But we have one that would walk through downtown all the time.
Did we?
Yeah. 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 We used to have a patrol cop that walked.
I didn't grow up here.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Officer Gazzola. He was my police officer when I was in school.
Aww.
Me and him were friends.
When we were kids, we had
officer.
I was a bad kid.
When we were kids, we had Officer Friendly.
Yeah.
And he came into school.
Yeah, we had Officer Friendly, and he was usually a retired police officer that came in and talked about police, and he'd take us outside to show us the cop car that had the face on it and stuff like that.
Oh, God. I
love that car.
I really feel like, you know, for example, the police station here, right? We just got all this money. We did this like huge like revamp.
Yeah,
up.
The police station is within walking distance of here.
Why did you like we? If you like, okay, so we could have taken that money, and maybe we could have gotten more. Hired more cops and gotten cops better trained, because the problem is a lot of these situations are people that are struggling with mental health, and our cops are not educated on how to deal with people that are having a mental health crisis.
Are any of you guys? No, they're definitely under-trained. Like, we should all have some.
With the police, they are given a black and white response to the law. That's how they deal with things. They don't.
But that's what I'm saying is that when there's situations that happen, there's a lot of times where there's somebody that's dealing with a mental health crisis of some degree, and the cops will come in. They come in hot, right? They're full, what happened? What's it like? And they aren't trained. So I
will tell you a story. When Rose was little, we I don't know who you were talking with. You were talking to somebody. It was a hot cup of tea, and she had picked it up. It was just one of those things where your back was turned for a second, and she picked it up, and it spilt on it and it burnt her. And the first two people that came here was the fire department and a police officer.
Yeah, because she burned herself badly enough. We called 911.
And I'm still trying to figure out why the fire department are here and not a paramedic to any service that happens.
Oh, I know why that
Why?
Because the paramedics are grossly underfunded and terribly busy.
Because
the fire department, because there's more fire departments than paramedic units, and they have like oxygen and defib paddles and first aid.
They're well equipped.
So they send them
then
first.
They need to then have is if they know that with every call that goes out that there's a cop and there's a fire engine that shows up, one of those, either a cop, probably not a cop, probably more likely a fire, that one fire truck that goes out has to have somebody that can deal with a mental issue, because they tend to be there first. They've got to have somebody that can show up to that situation with the skills necessary to deal with
it. And I think that's...
Especially if you've got something where you've got a crazy guy with a bloody samurai sword and you've got a cop that's got a gun point at him and they can't...
Because a paramedic is trained to deal with mental health issues. Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. If they could fund paramedics enough to... send them out with a police officer instead of a fire truck. How many bloody fires are there? Every single house is fucking fire worthy.
And
you know what I mean?
You know what else it is? It's because firemen are exciting. So firefighters are exciting.
Yeah, they are.
That's
a whole other podcast. And it's not going to be this type of podcast.
We have a...
Down, girl. Down.
You're peeking on my computer, guys. Sorry. We have a relative who used to be a paramedic, so we get to hear all the nasty things about fire departments. And so forth.
Well, but no,
he was so frustrated he wanted to join the police force.
He was.
Fuck this,
paramedics are often treated really, really badly as well. They are terribly underfunded.
We love paramedics. You guys have saved my ass a million
really,
times.
Thank you. Really love our paramedics. We love our firefighters too. Like, don't get me wrong, but. Having seen some of the insides of how fire is funded as opposed to how paramedics are funded, sometimes these things
Shameful.
Are just
yeah.
how it is. And it's not the firefighters' fault because they have to deal with some horrifying, horrifying things because they are first to a lot of things that are not fires. You're sending somebody who is trained to fight fire to extract people from a car accident. Like one of our friends said, it's like, I can never get that out of my head now, but I'm also not
big shout
trained.
Out to Heidi, who is my,
yes,
my,
and Heidi, our awesome
my,
Heidi.
My crush firefighter lesbian friend, damn it. the one I'll never
Are
get.
You the lesbian or is she the lesbian?
We're probably both that way, but yeah. anyway.
But no, and we have other firefighter friends who we won't out. At this point,
no.
But yeah, they're not always given the skills to deal with some of the things that they have as well. But they get stuck with doing a lot of it because, like you said, not a lot of things burn mm-hmm. compared to how it used to. But of course, back in the day, it would have. So fire would have been funded stupendously.
I think that the
paramedics weren't, because a lot of the time they were in the early stages of the paramedic sort of idea. They literally just picked you up and they took you to the hospital as fast as they could. They weren't necessarily trained the way they are now. Where some of these paramedics, there's all different levels of paramedic, the kind of training they have, the kind of things that they can prescribe, the kind of things that they can call, is really, really skilled people. But they're still treated like they basically pick you up and take you to the hospital. And it's not as simple as that at all. So I think that once we get the idea that they are as important as any of the other services and we fund them better, we have a mental health unit that can be sent out that is already kind of, they're already have the capabilities of being trained for that. And they already are trained to deal with the frightened and the hurt and the mentally ill and the off their meds and the everything. You know what I mean?
You know, it would be a really good way to make sure all these people, like doctors and all them, all make like the money that they deserve. Take all the money away from all the like NHL people.
Oh, yeah.
What if we just don't have money? What if we just like all take care of each other? And
that's a great idea, but
you know,
that's not how the world's ever going to work, unfortunately.
That's how it used to work. It's worked longer like that than it's worked with money.
I know, but the problem is there's too many greedy folk and they want to be rich.
Except that money's pretend.
It
so
is.
They're not actually rich. They just have money.
Yes. Yeah, but that still gives them the opportunities, whether it looks invisible or not.
I could rave about this for hours. Okay.
Yeah, but the situation, the reality of it is actually them at the top peak of the pyramid and you not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reality is I'm actually here in a society with money. But that doesn't change what I just said.
Okay.
That is still a thing. Still a thing.
Still a thing.
Still a thing.
Still a thing.
All right. Well, you know what? I have so many more topics about this stuff that we have just like now opened up. I need to go home and research.
Researchers.
We were supposed to talk about mermaids and we ended up with missing people.
How did that even happen? I don't know. I think it goes a little bit with the flow with some of the things
this is our Sunday round table.
We
sit down, we have coffee, and
if you're out there and you are listening and you're driving, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Please drive safe.
I know, because I was
please be
if
safe.
I could if I could recommend a podcast, I'd like to recommend a podcast. If you can do it, if you go to Spotify and look up Renegades, and it's a really, really cool podcast with Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen. Mm-hmm.
They're cool too.
It's really good fun.
And Sasquatch
almost
Chronicles.
As cool as us.
Yeah, we're cooler.
Maybe a little cooler.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.